The developed world has got the technology, the capital, and the management capabilities to make the investments that are needed for the transition to occur. That is an opportunity for the developing world to avoid a number of the mistakes that have been made in the developed countries, so don't necessarily lead them down the same pathway. So there's both the capacity of the developed world to assist the developing world with the investment side, and there's the lessons learned aspect of helping them avoid some of the previous mistakes. Now, the second part of my response to your question is that in terms of reinventing energy and thinking about energy for a sustainable energy future, the developed world's got a lot of work to do as well. It's not just a developing world issue. And when I think about the inefficiencies that are inherent in the developed world's energy system, both from use and transit and production of energy, we've got a long way to go.
So science is one big part of it, but the other part of it is mentality. How do we shift the conversation from how much it costs and how difficult it is to implement to the benefits of it and the importance of going down this sustainable path?
The mentality issue is quite important, and I find often people who know better like to wag their finger and say you shouldn't do this and you should stop doing that. That actually doesn't work at the end of the day. We are pushing an argument where the energy system of the future needs to reinvent energy and move away from being a commodity industry to a services industry. So if you look at what's happened to the telephone system and you've now got a smartphone in your pocket, that same kind of transition needs to occur in energy. And that way you don't have to reprimand people for their bad habits. What you end up doing is offering them the services that they require. And then it's up to you as a professional in the industry to manage the costs and to manage the upstream industry. You then get the lighting, the heating, the mobility that you would require without having to become an energy expert.
In terms of sustainable energy, are we on track to meet the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals? And if we're not, what do we need to do to get us back on track?
Asking the question, getting us back on track, implies that at some point we were on track. So I think, say, we're not going to get there, given current policies. We do need to be more aggressive, faster, and we need to fundamentally rethink the energy system. Right now, we've put in place a set of indicators for sustainable energy that are like looking through the rearview mirror. It's the energy data system of the past, and we need to think about what's required if we want to get to our destination. It really points to the importance of getting the right indicators, the right data, to inform the policymakers so that the correct changes can be made. To ask, what do we need to do to get on track? We need to cut the subsidies. We need to put a real price on carbon, which we have not got. And we've got to enable the investments, allow new entrants to come in.
You mentioned current policies, and there are governments around the world that are rescinding sustainable energy policies or cutting funding into research. What responsibility does the UN have, and what responsibility do UN agencies have in addressing this and reinforcing the importance of sustainable energy?
Before I joined the UN, the number one question I was being asked as a management consultant was, how do we change our portfolio of assets, activities, and even human resources, given the climate change challenge that we face? Once we went through an entire process, all of these companies were absolutely convinced that this was an existential challenge of climate change that we're facing. So there's just no doubt about that. But if you're dealing with anybody, either a government or an individual who's a climate skeptic, you need to change your conversation and find a different way to make the same arguments. That is that a lot of the changes that need to be made actually make economic sense. Energy efficiency pays for itself. Stopping emissions of methane from natural gas pipelines makes economic sense. So it's not simply you need to bear pain in order to meet these objectives. There are a number of things that could be done that are economically sensible in any case. My view is you need to put a significant carbon tax in place. Governments are not going to come to an agreement on that, but I think we need to keep the moral high ground and badger governments until they understand what needs to be done.
Why is it so important to invest in sustainable energy?
If you do not get investments into sustainable energy, you're going to persist with the current system, which is unsustainable in many ways. You're not going to achieve the efficiencies that are necessary. You're not going to achieve the access that's necessary. And sustainability is not only climate, it's also about putting food on the table and roofs over the head. It's meeting the quality of life aspirations of the globe. So if we don't get investment occurring, we're not going to actually develop the 2030 agenda the way we meant to. So energy underpins the entire 2030 agenda. Getting it right is essential, or else we're not going to meet the bigger development agenda altogether.